Today, as we come to the table...
I've never had anything happen in my life. Let me ask you this. Two things. Have you prayed from your heart, number one? And number two, have you really repented? You know, it's amazing to me. A lot of people don't even know what the word repentance means today. When I say repentance, they kind of look at me like, well, what does that mean? Go to church? No. Repentance literally is a word that means you turn away 180 degrees. You turn your back on all known sin in your life. I'm no longer going to do that. I'm turning away. I'm turning to Jesus. And you don't just turn from something. You turn to someone. And that is you turn to the Lord. And if you do that and then say, now, God, now come upon me.
What do you need to turn your back on today? If you're having trouble knowing what that is, close your eyes and imagine Jesus. Look at him. Turn your whole body to face him. Now take a look back over your shoulder. What's there? It may be your pride. It could be the brand new car you really want to buy instead of giving to God. Maybe it's the flirtation you've started at work. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Whatever it is, turn away from it, let it go, and walk away without one glance backwards. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus and pursue Him with an even greater passion. Pastor Mark is going to show us what it means to truly repent in today's message. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 19 as he continues his message.
The emperor said, "You can have any religion you want as long as you worship me first." And what you had to do every year is you'd have to go and pinch incense to this emperor and say, "Caesar is Lord." And then when we were done with that, you could go and be a Christian or be whatever you happen to be. That was fine. But you had to do that first. Well, that poses a real problem for believers, doesn't it? Because a believer is not going to say Caesar is Lord or anyone else is Lord, which, by the way, in the revived Roman Empire of the very last days, the Bible says prophetically, there'll be a revived Roman Empire. The Antichrist is going to rule the world, the Bible says, and I believe he's going to do the same thing. He's going to want people to worship him, but he's going to, I believe, say, you know what, you can be a Christian, you can be involved in Islam, you can be Buddhist, you can be Krishna, you can be whatever you want, but you worship me first. And then at some point in that process, actually 3.5 years into that process, the Bible says he'll say, you only worship me, that's it. You can't worship anyone else, and you bow down to me. And of course, that's when it's really going to get ugly. But we see they did this in that day, and so for believers, they needed to have this extra power. In addition, it was a very wealthy city. There was a lot of money there, a lot of temptations. It was the center for Oriental superstition and magic, which means they were very spiritual. Have you noticed we live in a very spiritual nation today? Ask people, well, I'm spiritual. Yes, but do you know Jesus? Well, you don't have to know Jesus to be spiritual. Let me say that is true. You do not have to know Jesus to be spiritual. There's a lot of false and wrong spirits out there. You only have to know Jesus to be right. And so the difference is there. Yes, we're a very spiritual place. This is what it was like in Ephesus. They also were famous. They had one of the 7 wonders of the world, the Temple of Diana. Now, Diana was this multi-breasted image that they made that was considered to be the goddess of fertility. We would say today, basically, the goddess of sex, and basically was an excuse to live an immoral and lewd lifestyle and call it worship. And of course, that brought travelers from all over the world. They would come and party there and be drunk there and have, you know, and go and worship, if you will, and maybe try to calm their conscience a little bit about the life of debauchery they were living. But this is the environment these believers were in. And so Paul realized, look, you guys need all the help you can get. And I want to say this, I believe the environment that we live in today in America, we need all the help we can get. Does anybody agree with that? Guys, we need all the help. I need everything that God has for me. I don't need just Sunday morning or Wednesday night or even just other believers. That's all wonderful, and that's a part of the element, a part of the scheme. But guys, we need the Holy Spirit, and we need God's power to empower us so we can be those witnesses and be bold and be that light and share. And so this is what Paul was recognizing, and this was the problem here with these particular believers. Now, remember I said earlier that many people believe and say that we get everything we get at the time we give our life to the Lord. If it was true that we got all of the work of the Holy Spirit at salvation, then why would Paul walk up to a group of believers and say, excuse me, do you have the Holy Spirit? That's a very odd question to ask, because the obvious answer is, look, the moment you give your life to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. You don't even have to ask. You don't even have to do anything. You simply receive it. And so this is something very specific that Paul is getting at. They need the power of the Holy Spirit. They're lacking that in their life. And we're going to see that's exactly what Paul does here in just a moment with these disciples. And again, I point out that they were already disciples. Basically, what he's saying to them was, do you have the work of the Holy Spirit going in your life in fullness? And they're saying, we haven't even heard that it's available. And there might be some of you today who have things that are missing in your life. Maybe you've not even heard this is available. Or maybe you've been afraid of this work of the Spirit in your life. I recognize there have been a lot of abuses of what is called the Holy Spirit in the church today. Again, we see a lot of it on TV. We see a lot of it on stage. We see a lot of people, you know, throwing jackets and blowing on people and doing all kinds of things that the Bible doesn't say we're to do at all. And because the thinking Christian sees that, they go, wait a minute, that can't be of God. The problem is, no, God is working, but they're doing it the wrong way. And so we find ourselves in a situation oftentimes where we're not even saying, God, I want a greater work of the Holy Spirit in my life. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life. We need this empowering. Now, it's interesting here, the word here that Paul uses when he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? The word receive there is the word in the language that is lambano, and it literally means to take or to bring under one's own initiative. That is, it's offered to you, but you've got to take it. And that is what's different about this third working of the Holy Spirit. God is with you whether you ask for Him to be with you or not. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you, that other work of the Spirit, the moment you give your life to Christ. However, and although there are exceptions where God pours everything out at one time, the majority of the time of what we see in Scripture and the majority of the time in believers' lives, what I've witnessed is this third work of the Spirit, the empowering, is something that comes after you ask. And that is exactly the word that's used here by Paul. Did you receive it? Did you ask for it? Did you take it? When I first gave my life to the Lord, I lived several months as a believer, knowing the Lord, walking with God, but I had no power in my life. And I remember hearing about the power of the Holy Spirit, and I, like you, was a little bit apprehensive about it, but I remember saying, Lord, I want everything you have. I need everything you have. You know, sometimes God gives me everything I have. You know, I'm thinking, God, I need even more. You know, I need a lot of help. But God, again, poured His Spirit out on me after I'd given my life to the Lord, and He gave me a new power. He not only gave me an ability to teach, He gave me the boldness to do it. And He gave me the boldness to share. And some of you this morning said, there's some missing element in my life. There's something that I don't have. I don't have that boldness. I don't have any of the gifts of the Spirit. You need God to come upon you. You need Him to come upon you with the power of your Holy Spirit. But note this, you need to receive it and take it. Now, we pointed this out again a couple of weeks ago. But if you're going to receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you an opportunity before we're done today at the end of the Bible study to do that. You need to be a vessel that's clean that God can land on. Now, what do I mean by that? You remember when Noah, a beautiful picture of Noah, when Noah sent out the raven and he sent out the dove. It's interesting, the raven went out, and ravens in Scripture are a type of the demonic realm. And he sends out this raven, and I know it was a literal raven and a literal dove, but bear with me for the symbolism here and the analogy. He sends out the raven, and the raven landed the first place it found something dead. There was a dead carcass floating in the ocean. Whatever it was he found, he was able to land and begin to feast and devour. And that's exactly what Satan does today. He can land anywhere where there's dead meat. And if we are dead in the spirit, and we are dead in our lives, if there's something that's a stench around us that is not of the Lord, He is more than willing to be involved in our life and to land right there and just begin to devour our lives. Some of you have experienced that. But it's interesting, when the dove found no place to rest, it came back, and as it came back down to Noah, he came back down to Noah, and it says that Noah reached out his hand and received the dove and took the dove into himself. The raven just stayed gone. He was fine with the dead stuff. But the dove needed something that was safe, something that was acceptable, a place that was inviting, a place where there was purity and life. And I know I'm taking the analogy a little far, but bear with me on this. I believe in order for God to pour out the Holy Spirit, which is representative in Scripture of the dove, you've got to be a clean vessel. Now, some of you are saying, well, wait a minute, I know I'm a sinner. I can't be a clean vessel. Look, I'm not standing up here saying that I'm Mr. Holy. As a matter of fact, I have found truly what Paul said to be true in my life. The more I walk with God, the dirtier I see that I am, the uglier my heart. Some of you cringe at that. My pastor says that it's hard. No, what I'm saying is God exposes my heart all the more the closer I get to him and the longer I walk with him. And Paul got to the point to where Paul said, you know what? This is Paul the apostle. He said, I am not just a sinner. I am the chief of sinners. Now, compared to us, what do you think Paul was like? And if Paul was the chief of sinners, what does that make me? The chief of sinners? I don't know. But the bottom line is what was happening in Paul's life was, as God was working in Paul's life and showing him his holiness more, Paul realized how wicked the heart is without God. And so my point is simply this. None of us are going to be pure enough on our own to please God. It's a matter of saying, God, forgive me of my sins and repenting. And you have to repent of your sin. And then once you repent of your sin, then say, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Some of you have said, I've prayed that for years, but I've never had anything happen in my life. Let me ask you this. Two things. Have you prayed from your heart, number one? And number two, have you really repented? You know, it's amazing to me. A lot of people don't even know what the word repentance means today. When I say repentance, they kind of look at me like, well, what does that mean? Go to church? No. Repentance literally is a word that means you turn away 180 degrees. You turn your back on all known sin in your life. I'm no longer going to do that. I'm turning away. I'm turning to Jesus. And you don't just turn from something. You turn to someone. And that is you turn to the Lord. And if you do that and then say, now, God, now come upon me. That dove can alight. There's a safe place where you can take out and receive and bring that dove into the ark of your heart, that life where you can now have the Spirit working. And this, again, is what Paul wants to see in their lives and what we need to see in our lives. And so notice that he said, we haven't even heard, verse 3, and he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Now, remember we talked about John's baptism a couple of weeks ago. It was a water baptism. It was a baptism done by man. We're having one next week. There's going to be a water baptism out at the cove. There's going to be a baptism done by man out at the cove. But guys, that's not all that God has for you. Jesus said, you know, John said, I baptize you with water, but he said, there's one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that is the Messiah. He has a specific baptism that he reserves for himself. It's a baptism of liquid water, if you will. It's a baptism of himself. You know, it's interesting to make the parallels and the differences. When I do the baptisms, and we used to do them up here in the river. Now we do them out at the cove, which is a lot warmer. Praise the Lord for that. I like that better. But I'm not even the one having to go under, right? I go up to my waist. And I'm thinking, oh, God, how much farther do I need to go? Man, this guy's tall. Okay, we're going to go a little more, you know, because I'm just gradually getting cold as I'm going in there. It's not that bad, but you get the point. And then what will happen is, man, the believers, they give their life to the Lord. They're fired up. I'm fired up with them. Everybody wants to hug. I love it. I wouldn't trade it for the world. If you get baptized next week, don't say, I'm not going to hug him because he's using it. No, it's great. I love it. Well, my point is simply this. I'm not wet from here up. So when we hug, I go, ooh, I'm born again too, right? You know, we're both alive right now, okay? But here's the point I'm making. When someone else is wet from baptism and they hug you, it can't help but get on you. And when you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you begin to love other people around you, they're going to go, because you're going to get on them. And that is exactly what was not happening with this believers here. Paul met them and nothing was getting on him. And he's like, hey, what's up, guys? Did you guys receive the Spirit? What's going on here? We didn't even know. Well, let me tell you about it. And that's the whole point of this. So they were into John's baptism, but not the baptism of the Lord. And so then Paul said to them, well, John indeed baptized a baptism of repentance. That is repentance in water. We talked about that, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So his was a water baptism. It was a baptism of repentance, but it was about Jesus who was going to come afterwards. And yes, we need the water baptism, but we need the baptism of the Spirit. We need that Holy Spirit baptism as well. And notice this, verse 5, it says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now stop here for a moment, because this is very interesting to me. Look what we have. We have disciples in Ephesus who are believers and who have now been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you think they're saved? You better believe it. There's nothing else required. Believing in Jesus, being baptized in his name, and receiving him as Lord. Here's what's amazing to me. At this point, they're not ready. At this point, they're not complete. They're completely saved. They're completely ready for heaven. But Paul says, we're not done yet. We're not done. You need what I notice is missing in your life. and you need the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, some of you this morning are in the same place. You know the Lord, you've given your life to Him, you've been baptized in His name, but you've not yet been baptized by Him. And the Lord would say to you this morning, even as Paul to these believers in Ephesus, well, we're not stopping here. We're not ending the service now. I want to pray and ask God to come upon you with His Holy Spirit. And this is exactly what Paul's going to do, and this is what we're going to do in just a moment, because you need the fullness of the Spirit to be able to do all that God has called you to do. And notice verse 6 now with these believers, what happens? And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Guess what word that is in the language? It's that third word we talked about there of the Holy Spirit, the EPI, the upon. That is something from without coming upon. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Well, Mark, I was with you up to that point, but after this speaking in tongues thing and prophesying, you know, we're checking out. Here's what I think happens to a lot of believers. I think we look at the gifts of the Spirit and sometimes we freak out. And because we're afraid of the gifts of the Spirit, we think, well, I don't want to pray for that. I don't want that to happen to me. Guys, notice this. The Lord is never going to make you look foolish when it comes to the work of the Spirit. God has different gifts. Yes, He has a gift of tongues. Yes, He has a gift of prophecy. Yes, He has a gift of teaching and preaching and evangelism and all these different gifts that it talks about in 1 Corinthians. All of those are available. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. You can have those today. It says in Corinthians that they'll be taken away one day when we're in heaven, when we see the Lord face to face. But until then, God has given them to help us, and we need all the help we can get. Picture it as in you're trying to build a home. It'd be nice to have a toolbox, wouldn't it? And yet a lot of Christians walk around without toolboxes going, why can't I build my Christian life? Why can't I seem to grow? Why can't I mature? Why can't I be free of that sin? Why can't I share my faith effectively? Maybe your toolbox needs the main tool it should have after salvation, and that is power. And so we need this power. We need this working in our life here. And so Paul, again, lays hands on them. The Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they prophesy and speak in tongues. Don't let that scare you. Receive whatever God has, and know that the Lord is in control of the gifts that you get. God does that. Man doesn't do it. And nobody can teach that gift either, or any of the gifts. You can't teach the gifts or how to get them. It's simply seeking God. Here's what I encourage you to do. As we're praying today, and say, God, I want everything you have for me in the Spirit. I want you to empower me in your Spirit, and I want you to give me all the gifts you want me to have. And I would go even farther than that. I would say, God, give me not just what you want me to have, what I want. Give me everything, you know. I'll take it all, you know. Just open up the spigot of heaven and pour it out. And God knows what we need, and God will give those gifts. I can say the gifts that God gave me when I was filled with the Spirit, I'm very thankful for, because they all serve a purpose. And as you study 1 Corinthians, you'll see the purpose that they serve. And I need each and every one of those things that God gave to me. And sometimes I feel like I need, like I said, even more than that. But the Lord knows. And notice when Paul laid hands on them, tongues of prophesy, it says about 12 men in all. And I find it interesting. You know me, I'm always looking at every word and every number in Scripture, because the Bible says that every bit of it is God-breathed. And if God is going to breathe something on paper for me to read, that makes it important to me. And so he breathed out that there were 12 there. Why is that significant to me? Because in Scripture, the number of 12 means governed over. It's the number of God's governing. 12 tribes of Israel to govern over the people of Israel. You go all through the Scripture and see it. Why do I say that, and why is that important here? Because I believe the Holy Spirit strategically had 12 people there that we might catch the message. If you want God to completely govern your world, you want Him to completely govern your life, not people around you, not the events, not the world. You want God to govern it. Then you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got to have the Holy Spirit come upon you and give you power. And when you do that, God will become your governor, if you will. So about 12 men in all. And it says, and Paul then went, look at verse 8, went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Now, Paul was already bold. He was already filled with the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to zip by this without pointing this out. One of the results of being filled with the Spirit is boldness. The biggest result is love. We should love one another. If we're filled with the Spirit, one of the manifestations is love. But boldness comes with it. And if you're lacking love today and you're lacking boldness today, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul here is sharing in boldness. Notice this, for 3 months, which, by the way, for Paul is a miracle and an achievement, because usually when Paul went to a town, he had about a week or two until they kicked him out. And so they were at least open to hear what Paul was saying. I don't know if Paul got smarter in the way he presented it or whether or not they were just more open. But the sad thing is, notice they hardened their hearts. Look at verse 9. But when some were hardened, and that means by choice, they chose to harden their heart, and that's what people do. They either believe or they choose to harden their heart. When they did this and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way. Again, that's speaking of Jesus and his church. Jesus said, I am the way. When they spoke evil of the way before the multitude, that is all the people, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. You know, again, this goes to that principle, not throwing pearls to swine. And Paul knew that. It's one thing to be sharing with people, but when they begin to mock, and especially to mock publicly about the Lord, guys, just get out of there. Leave them alone. God can work in their heart how he wants to, when he wants to, but we need to leave them alone, because all it's going to do is drag the name of the Lord through the mud and give them an opportunity to say things that are blasphemous against the Lord. And so Paul decides, you know what, I'm going to leave you guys because you don't want to hear it. I'm going to go somewhere where they do want to hear it. I'm going to start a study over here in the school of Tyrannus. And those of you who want to come over here and you want to learn about the Lord, you want to be a disciple, then join me. Now, what was this school of Tyrannus? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us a lot, but we do have some extra biblical information about him. He was a philosopher, it would appear, in the Ephesus region. And up until 11 o'clock in the day, he would philosophize. And then after 4 o'clock, he would continue on to do his philosophy. But between 11 and 4, it got so hot in Ephesus, the entire city, they would take a siesta. Everybody would go home and get out of the heat because it was so incredibly hot during that time. And Paul said, wait a minute, you've got this great lecture hall. Nobody's in it between 11 and 4. Yes, I know it's hot, but if you want to hear the word of God, then come over here and we're going to disciple and get in the word of God. And this didn't even strike me until this morning how awesome this is. Paul was not only willing to go and spend 5 hours every day for 2 years discipling those who wanted to be discipled, he did it in the heat of the day. So Paul was committed, and those who wanted to have the word of the Lord, they were committed as well. Paul's there teaching and reasoning in this school of Tyrannus, and notice it says in verse 10, and this continued for 2 years so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Now this is amazing here to me. Paul is there teaching the word of God faithfully for 2 years, and it is so effective. This one man spreading the gospel. I know Apollos and others were now spreading in different areas, but predominantly Paul on his journeys as he planted all these churches, and now the helpers that God is raising up with him, the entire region of Asia was reached with the gospel. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the entire world was reached with the gospel in Paul's day. Note that. The entire world was preached the gospel in Paul's day. Did you realize today we have not preached the gospel to the entire world? Now, of course, back then they had the internet and telephones and satellite, and they flew in planes and they had trains. They had all those modern things that would make it easier, which we don't have today. You know the difference? You can have all the internet, all the TVs, all the travel, all the phones, all the media avenues. And if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, it will do you no good. But on the other side, you cannot have the internet. You cannot have phones. You cannot have travel. You cannot have all these things and reach the entire world with the Holy Spirit. Which one do you think we need more in our day? Guys, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And some of you guys are walking in weakness. You're not walking in the fullness of the Spirit. I'm not talking about personal weakness. I'm talking about in the Spirit. You need God's power to do what he's called you to do. God's calling some of you guys to rise up and teach. He's calling some of you guys to hit the streets and be a witness. He's calling some of you guys to start studies on your own. He's calling some of you guys to get involved in ministry here. And you're afraid. And you're saying, I don't have the power and I don't have the ability. I can't speak like Pastor Mark can speak. If you knew me, I don't speak that good. The bottom line is, God has given you what you need, but you need power to make it happen. You need power for this to happen in your life. And I want to ask you as we finish today, I want to ask you the same question that Paul asked those believers in Ephesus. Did you receive the Holy Spirit, that is the empowering, the fullness, the complete work of the Holy Spirit, when you believed?
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. The accounts of this book end up being the types of storylines that directors long for in a good plot of an underdog overcoming the odds and doing more than people would ever expect. But like many stories, they don't always have a happy ending, at least here on Earth. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Acts next time. But you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series in the Come to the Table section on thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. If you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark and the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For nearly 25 years, it's been been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community and through this radio outreach. There's always a seat for you. We meet Saturdays at 6 p.m., Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15, and in the evening again at 6. We also gather Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find out more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of the waymedia.net to find a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share, so be sure to join us as we prepare to come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.